We're going to have a little slightly longer sermon today, and we're going to start with a little history. Incidentally, the theme you may have picked up on is righteousness versus self-righteousness. You know, those are two words that we kind of use pretty often, right? And they're similar words, and yet they mean polar opposite things. So we're going to delve into those two words, righteousness versus self-righteousness, a little bit. That's the idea. And we're going to start with a little history, and it's a little bit dark, but here we go. Now, John Huss, not exactly a household name, right? Anybody hear of him? You maybe heard of the Hussites, the Hussite Wars, perhaps. Well, John Huss was born in 1372. About 650 years ago, Tim, in Bohemia. It was part of the Roman Catholic Empire at that point. It is now the Czech Republic. And he studied at the University of Prague. He actually became a dean there. And he was an ordained priest and a renowned theologian. This was a good guy. He was a well-regarded guy. But there was a problem with John Huss. He actually had the audacity to think and to say out loud that he thought Jesus Christ was the head of the church, not the Pope. Can you believe that? Can you imagine that? And he also, you know, disagreed with some of the principles and practices and doctrines of the church. It didn't all seem very like biblical, you know, and even Christ-like to him. No. And he had the nerve, the temerity to be outspoken about it, to challenge the mainstream, the orthodoxy of the church. Well, I mean, what could the Pope, you know, and all those bishops and church leaders, what could they do? What choice did they have? They arrested John Huss for heresy. And on July 6th, 1415, at a cathedral in present-day Germany, the church leaders, these good Christian men, they tied John Huss to a stake and they burned them alive. Seem reasonable? Seem Christ-like to you? Yeah. No? No? And as he died, John Huss was heard reciting in agony the Psalms. But again, I mean, really, what choice did they have? Yeah. What choice? What are you going to do with a guy like this? This guy wasn't towing the line. He was challenging the status quo with his, you know, free speech nonsense and freedom of religion. They couldn't allow it. Nope, no way. Because, sure enough, the followers of John Huss, known as the Hussites, kept up that good fight on his behalf for hundreds of years. And furthermore, John Huss, again, not exactly a household name, and that's okay, it doesn't matter. He was one of the first people to effectively sow the seeds of the Protestant Reformation, of which we here today in Bowmanville, Pennsylvania, are absolutely a part of, and an important part. And then, now follow this, just 100 years later, a blink of an eye, you know, after John Huss was burned alive by the church, the seeds of the Reformation that he had planted started to bloom. They really started to bloom. On October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther, a household name, right, nailed his thesis, his 95 complaints, to the door of a church in Wittenberg, Germany, thereby officially beginning the Protestant Reformation. Now, here's a question for you. Did Martin Luther get burned at the stake for doing that? No, he died of a stroke at age 62. How did he avoid that fate? I'm really not sure. I don't know. That's a good question. Because do not think that burning people at the stake was a rare thing. Because it wasn't. Here's another good example. Do you remember Joan of Arc? Everybody nods their head. Yep. Just 16 years after the death of John Huss, a 19-year-old Joan of Arc was tied to a post and set ablaze. And she was not executed for military reasons. You picture her, you know, with a sword knot. Nope. She wasn't executed for treason or something like that. No. Joan of Arc was burned alive by the church for heresy. She was not saying what they wanted her to say. So she had to go. And again, that was not super unique. None of that was super unique. Brace yourselves. It is estimated that more than 50,000 women alone were burned at the stake in Europe during this period, like the 1400s, 1500s, 1600s, during that period, as witches. Just as witches, for being witches. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think all those women were really witches? You think they were actually witches? No, no, it's ridiculous. The whole thing was ridiculous. Of course they weren't witches. They were people who the self-righteous leaders, mainly men, who had power, looked down on, didn't like them, and so they got rid of them. Okay, by now you must be thinking, why is Phil talking about this ugly, objectionable thing? And the reason is, and Grace knows this, she's not here. I burnt my hand on the stove a couple days ago. It all had to do with me, the whole part about me being home alone and having to cook for myself, all that stuff, right? I burnt my hand on the stove. And the pain, of course, was immediate and unbearable, right? And I was talking this over with Grace. I told Grace what happened. I dropped the pan on the floor and a whole nine yards. And it made me think about this. I had written a paper about this for one of my classes about some of this nasty church history. And it reminded me about, can you imagine this? How painful that was? And then also, I felt that it connected to our topic for today. This topic. So here we go. Think of this question. How prideful and self-righteous does a person have to be to tie another human being to a stake and set them on fire? Right? Now, that's my question. I want you to think about that. And mind you, notice this incredibly cruel thing to do is not driven by some, you know, visceral emotion like anger or revenge, you know, or even self-defense, really. No, it's driven by self-righteousness. The person disagreed with me and my church doctrine. I didn't like what they were saying. They tried to exercise freedom of speech. And they got burned alive for it. In almost all cases, that's what it was about. It was about heresy. That's the power, the ugliness of self-righteousness. Our psalmist for today, King David, in our responsive reading today, he laments. He laments that God looks down from heaven, and when he should find righteous people, righteousness, he instead finds the exact opposite, self-righteousness. They're corrupt, he says. Their deeds are vile. There's no one who does good, not even one. And then in our first reading today, our own St. Paul, he picks up on this 14th psalm and he repeats it. And he says, there is no one righteous, not even one. And the point he goes on to make is that no one, not Jews, Gentiles, church leaders, kings or queens, no one is righteous. No one, not even one. You'll remember, may remember, in our opening hymn today, which is Barry's favorite, by the way, the hymn writer, which was 200 years ago that hymn was written, in verse 3, it says, only thou art holy. Remember that? Only thou art holy. I love that. Only God is holy. Because only God is truly righteous. The word righteous means to be doing the right thing all the time in a flawless way. In other words, to be what? Perfect. Perfect. To be perfect. Well, we know, or we should know, that we are not perfect. Only God is perfect. And only God is righteous. Okay, so Paul goes on to say in verses 22 and beyond that what we must do then is sort of glom onto the righteousness of Jesus through faith in him. But we always have to remember, always remember that it's his righteousness, not ours. We do not have it on our own. Not even one. When we start to believe that it's our righteousness, then what does it become? Self-righteousness. And it turns bad real quick. Is there a clear difference between righteousness and self-righteousness? Well, think of this one example. Think of this example. The righteousness of Jesus looks at the woman caught in adultery from John chapter 8 and says to her, I do not condemn you. Now go and sin no more. Right? But the self-righteousness of men burned 50,000 women at the stake. Is that a clear distinction? I think so. Yeah. And is it an important lesson? I think so. I think so, yes. Okay. You gotta love the Pharisees, right? Don't we love these Pharisees? It's almost like it was for our benefit that they, the Pharisees, were such self-righteous jerks. Right? I mean, because they represent the perfect examples for Jesus to use to teach us about pridefulness, hypocrisy, and of course, self-righteousness. I mean, Jesus just destroys these guys, right? Repeatedly, including in our gospel reading today from Matthew 23. Don't do what they do, Jesus says. They do not practice what they preach. And by the way, that's where that saying comes from, Matthew 23. And Jesus says, They want all the respect and all the glory, but they don't want to do any of the work. He kills these guys, right? He brood of vipers and all that. And his closing statement in verse 12 is as follows. It's very important. Those who exalt themselves, the self-righteous, will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. It seems so clear, doesn't it? Does that seem clear? And the Bible repeats itself, story after story, making that same point. Do not be self-righteous. Don't exalt yourself. So think of it. It's bizarre. Over the hundreds and thousands of years that followed, how did the religious elites in particular not get that message? Right? Seriously. How could you possibly miss that? Don't they read the Bible? It's right there repeatedly, especially in the Gospels. Some things aren't super clear in the Bible, I'll grant you that. But that one is. That one's clear. Don't be self-righteous. Don't be like the Pharisees. I don't know. It's crazy that despite everything the Bible clearly says, you could call yourself a Christian, yet be so self-righteous that you would burn people at the stake for disagreeing with you. How do you explain that? Can you explain that? I can't explain it. Okay, but you say to me, well, we would never do anything like that today. Right? Really? Really? You sure about that? It's true that today, burning people at the stake is illegal. And I tell you what, it's a good thing too. It's a good thing that it is. Just the other night, I heard a woman on TV, a reverend doctor, pastor of a church, talking on TV. Now, I hear a lot of stuff. We all listen to TV. You hear a lot of wild stuff, right? I was shocked by this. It takes pretty much to shock you anymore. She was saying the most hateful, vile things about another person. It was shocking. It made you cringe. It made me kind of sad, you know? And it definitely gave me the creeps. Nice looking lady. A pastor of a church. And I thought to myself, you know, as she kind of spewed out this vitriol, if she could burn this person at the stake, she would do it. Absolutely. Absolutely she would do it. There was no doubt in my mind. So I couldn't help but take a quick look at her church's website. I'll tell you why. I wanted to see if she was a UCC church. I'm not kidding. That would have annoyed me big time. It wouldn't have totally shocked me, but it would have definitely annoyed me. Wasn't a UCC. So I looked at her website, and it was all about love. It was all about love. I mean, rainbows and love. Everybody was welcome at that church. Oh, so sweet. Except, I promise you, you know who wouldn't be welcome? Anybody who disagreed with her. Don't kid yourself. And I mean, that would be a lot of people. Unbelievable. And so it seemed real clear to me, and maybe it won't to you, and that's okay. That's okay. But to me, this is exactly what Jesus is talking about when he warns us repeatedly about hypocrisy and self-righteousness. And he uses the Pharisees as the prime example. And today, some of those Pharisees have, you know, PhDs in divinity. Last week we heard the great words of James, the brother of Jesus, in chapter 3 of the book of James. You remember this? He said that the tongue is like a fire. Remember that? It corrupts and sets you on fire. Are you still sure we're not burning people alive today? Well, James goes on to say, with the same tongue, we praise God and curse our fellow human beings who have been made in God's image. Brothers and sisters, this should not be. And no, it should not. So in closing, we need to check our own individual hearts in this matter. I mean, we may not be the Pharisees or the doctors of divinity, but none of us is above this problem of self-righteousness. Certainly not me. Remember the song, it's the first one in our hymnal, "Only God is holy, only thou art holy." Righteousness is God's. No one else is righteous, not even one. We connect to righteousness by connecting to Jesus, by trying to be Christ-like every day. Everything else is just self-righteousness. Amen.